What's going on, gamers? Welcome back to the Graveyard. I'm the Graveyard Gamer, and thank you for joining me for this episode of Graveyard Game. Now, in today's episode, I want to talk about WWE 2K23 because we got not one, but two different trailers, the announcement trailer and what the showcase mode is. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the things that I hope we see. I want to talk about the things that they've announced that I'm excited for. Either way, you guys know I love WWE. You guys know I love WWE video games, so it's just an exciting time when they announce a new one. Then I want to talk about Crystal Dynamics, Marvel's Avengers, because guys, it is now Avengers Disassembled. That's right, that game is getting shut down by September of this year. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about things to be on the lookout as it gets closer to shutdown, what that means going forward. And I want to kind of just talk about some things that I feel like could have made that game even better, some steps they could have done along the way. And also, I kind of always feel like there's stuff that they just cut, and I want to talk about that as well. So with that being said, gamers, let's jump in and let's talk about WWE 2K23. So gamers, when it comes to WWE 2K23, what did they show us? Well, the announcement trailer was kind of funny. It's just a little bit of gameplay, but mostly you're walking around, you're seeing guys like Bad Bunny. By the way, Bad Bunny, the rapper, is actually a pre-order bonus, which is kind of cool because if you actually watched his match a couple years ago at WrestleMania, he was really surprisingly good. So you can actually pre-order, get that character in the game. But the big thing is walking around, John Cena, seeing a couple different people. You don't see John Cena. Why? Because you can't see me. So at the end of the day, then it kind of brings it all together, and he actually beats up Austin Theory, which I think is great because that was actually a match that was rumored to have taken place at WrestleMania this year. I don't think it's going to happen, though. That's just my inside guess. However, the important thing is that was the announcement trailer. And that already lets you know, well, this game is really going to take place around John Cena, which is perfect because John Cena over the last couple years has transitioned out of WWE. We've seen a few sporadic appearances, but let's be real, the guy has got a huge, well-earned spot in WWE history. So it's really cool to see that. Now, while we were kind of hinted at in there, as you've seen a lot of clips of John Cena's character wrestling a few things. First off, let me just say, character models were amazing, right? I was kind of instantly blown away just how good it looked. And I thought WWE 2K22 looked amazing. This one really looks like it's taken all the power of the PS5 and the Series X and putting it into this. But it's the second trailer that I want to talk about because you see a little bit more. See, the second trailer, it starts off with John Cena as he's talking about his career. So now we know that the showcase mode is going to be 100% focused on John Cena's career. And here's the important thing. It starts off and he's talking about his first steps toward the ring. And you see him and Kurt Angle in that iconic moment. And you actually see Kurt Angle's character model, which is absolutely needed. You have to have Kurt Angle in this mode. You then see a match of him and RVD, which is important. That's One Night Stand 2006, and that is such a monumental match for John Cena. You also see Batista from SummerSlam 2008. You see The Rock from the Once in a Lifetime, which was the first of two, so it's funny, matches at WrestleMania between The Rock and John Cena. All of those are matches he lost, and he talks about that. He kind of talks about how, hey, he's taken a lot of losses, but his whole life has been defined by three words: never give up. It kind of starts to make me think, because then you see him actually doing some big moves on The Rock and RVD and whatnot, and you start going, wait a minute, this showcase mode might actually be really cool. And this is what I want to talk about, the things I hope about this game. And starting off with the showcase mode, so there's two things. Number one, I think this would be outstanding. While it is always cool to go through their career and see, you know, their matches and kind of playing for yourself, how amazing is it if we're going to get the rewrite option, right? When you face RVD at ECW One Night Stand, what if you're given the option of, hey, you can play through it and complete it just like it did. You'll end up losing, but you'll play it like it did. Or you can rewrite history and John Cena wins. That would be hilarious. You could go and you could fight The Rock at WrestleMania and laugh out loud, John Cena wins, if you remember that meme from all those years ago. This would be really cool. Back in 2009, we got Legends of WrestleMania, and you could actually rewrite history in those matches, in that career mode, where you would have the other person win. Like Hulk Hogan would win instead of Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 6. I would love to see that in this showcase mode. I think that would spice it up a little bit, give you a little bit of variety, something cool. I'd love to see how they would pivot that. Now, the other thing I want to see for showcase mode, if you guys know me, you guys know what I've talked about WWE 2K22, and I hope to have a review for you where I can go in more depth. Showcase mode has got to do away with non-stop objectives. I don't mind a few during the match to kind of set up those awesome moments where, like, you know, you'll throw somebody out of the ring, and as they throw out the ring, it cuts into real footage, and you kind of hear a voiceover. I think those are fantastic. So I understand the, you know, the mid-match, quarter health, enemy drain, or whatever. I understand when you have to do a move for that. But just the constant, like, okay, now do this. Okay, now do this. Okay, now do this. They don't mean anything. They kind of stop the flow of the matches. They take the fun away. So if they just base it on, like I said, your enemy's encounter or the other wrestler's health, if you will, and as you chip away at that, and once you get down each quarter, then you get a big moment, I'd be cool with that. Just slow down on those things. They just got unbearable in the Rey Mysterio one. So I would love to see that. I would love to see them also keep up what they did in 2K22 in the sense of, hey, some of these characters you have to play through Showcase mode to unlock, because I don't know. I like that. I like the fact some championships, some alternate attires, some full characters themselves, like Shawn Michaels, you couldn't just buy him with the VC. You actually had to go and you had to play through Showcase mode. I think that just gives you a little bit more incentive to play through that mode. I think it's a little bit more rewarding than just getting 15 different versions of Rey Mysterio in last year's game or getting 5 different versions of John Cena in this year's game. Give us actual characters. You know, RVD, make him tied to beating him in Showcase mode. Again, it's that little push and that little bit of reward that I think is fantastic. The other thing you guys need to know is there are 3 different versions of this game. Obviously, you have the regular edition, the deluxe edition, and then you have the legendary edition. And with those comes different versions of John Cena. You have the classic You Can't See Me. That's the cover star. But the more you get, you can get like the Thugonomics. You can get a different career version of John Cena, like his early prototype style stuff. So I definitely think it's cool that they've done that. I hope they also don't lock those away where, hey, if you don't buy those, you can never get them. Sometimes, to me, they get a little pricey, right? Like, I hope they don't do that. But there's another major thing that I have to talk about when it comes to 2K23 that has been confirmed that is in this game, and that is War Games. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're an old-school wrestling fan like me, you remember the NWA War Games. You remember the WCW War Games, and in fact, they had some really cool WCW versus NWO War Games back in the 90s. And then lately, over the last 5 years, Triple H has actually brought those back in NXT. We had a fantastic one this past November, Survivor Series. And if you don't know what those are, let me break it down to you. It's 2 rings side by side with a cage going around it. Absolutely just a fantastic time. You start off, each team has 1 representative in the match, and then there's a coin toss or whatever. I'm kind of interested how they play that out in the game, but the winner of that actually gets the advantage. So you have 2 teams. You have A and B team, right? Well, if the winner is A, that means at the end of 2 minutes, A gets the first man out. So now it becomes Team A has a 2-man advantage on Team B. And then eventually 2 minutes later, Team B will get their second person. But right away, 2 minutes later, Team A is going to get that third one. So that advantage means a lot. I can't wait to see how they play that out in the game. And I'm stoked for it. I think it's going to be fantastic. I hope, you know, it flows well. And that's the best way I can say it. Like, hopefully, you know, switching rings is easy. I hope there's no slowdown. I just hope it's a fantastic game because, man, you know, the 4-on-4 team matches that you can have in WWE 2K22 are fun, but they need a little bit extra. And I think War Games is going to take it there. The amount of violence and fun, and there better be some cool stuff, man. It better not just feel like, okay, there's 2 rings. Like, no, man, give us some, like, environmental hotspots, if you will, to really slam people in the cages and do these awesome moves and set up a table. Man, I just think they could have a lot of fun with that. Now, let's talk about the roster because this is super important. I mentioned Kurt Angle being in showcase mode. That is absolutely important. So we know The Rock is going to be in it. We know Batista. We know The Undertaker. We know Kurt Angle, we know RVD, so we know a handful of people from matches that are important in John Cena's career, but that's the key thing, because here's my deal. Kurt Angle was so pivotal in last year's showcase mode, and guess what was not included in last year's showcase mode? Kurt Angle. For whatever reason, they did not get his likeness in the game. I don't understand it, because he's in this year's game. He was in WWE 2K20's game, and he has a really good relationship with WWE, so why didn't they license him? I don't get it, 2K, because how do you have a Rey Mysterio showcase mode and you don't put in the actual match where he won the world title for the first time at WrestleMania? You can't get a bigger accomplishment than that. And you leave it out because you don't get Kurt Angle, because he beat Kurt Angle and Randy Orton in a triple threat match. made no sense to me. But at the end of the day, we know Kurt Angle's in there. That's good. So I want to make sure the roster has the appropriate amount of current superstars. Don't sacrifice current superstars for legends and whatnot, but make sure you do the best you can to get everybody in there. For example, Bray Wyatt's back. 2K. Hopefully you guys are already being smart. We know we don't really know what he's going to look like, his attire. Hopefully they've already figured that out. Hopefully they've got the Fiend in the game. Hopefully they've figured out enough in there so that Bray Wyatt is represented, right? We don't want to have a gap in there. I don't want to wait for DLC to be able to play as Bray Wyatt. I mean, it's kind of sad that I haven't got to play as the Fiend character in two different WWE games. Kind of sucks, right? So with that being said, I want to see that. I want to see a good number of legends. Like I mentioned with Kurt Angle, you've got your classics. We got to have the Shawn Michaels. You got to have your Bret Harts, your Ric Flairs, your Hulk Hogan's. That was amazing. He was back last year. Make sure you keep that up. X-Pac, Road Dogg, you know, give us the people that we can make the factions with, the NWO. Let us make the DX to the best you can. Unfortunately, Billy Gunn, we understand some contracts you just can't kind of arrange. Like he's working with AEW. Same thing with CM Punk. This goes back to showcase mode. John Cena, CM Punk, about 10 years ago, that was a fantastic rivalry because as good as John Cena was, CM Punk was the exact opposite. John Cena's a corporate good guy. You know, CM Punk is that outsider that people got behind. So I know we're not going to actually get to, you know, see CM Punk. He's in a contract with AEW, but it's like make sure he's the only omission. Make sure when it comes to the showcase mode, you got everybody. Make sure when it comes to just me picking up the game and wanting to play it, every legend I would want to play as is right there. Vader, come on, man. Him and Psycho Sid, why'd you not have those in last year? You got to make up for the fact that, hey, WWE has a great roster, but let's be real, the NXT is not what it was. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, NXT in WWE games was a great addition. Now, it doesn't have that same name value, right? Unfortunately, a lot of those NXT guys just don't carry the same weight as when Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano were in NXT. So make sure you kind of offset the fact that some people might not be jumped to play as some of them and make sure we have some awesome legends. And then, of course, our SmackDown, our Raw stars are there. But make sure you do include some of those NXT guys. That's not to say skip away from them. We definitely got to keep those guys in there. So make sure the roster is stacked. At this point in time, I'm looking at WWE 2K22 when I say all this because when you look at that DLC roster, that DLC roster was really cool, but why were so many legends waiting for DLC? Why was Mick Foley only Cactus Jack and only if you bought the DLC pack? Like, we should have had Mick Foley in that game already. So I guess what I'm trying to say with the roster is, while I want a nice blend of everybody, I also don't want to feel like, hey, I got to go spend another $40 to get the full roster for all the legends and all the current stars. Like, come on, man. I understand some people miss the cutoff date. That's perfectly fine. That's what DLC is for. The roster, man, that should just already be on disc. So make sure the legend roster, come on, man. Most of those guys should already be on the disc for me to play. Because it is kind of tough to sit there and say, you know what? I want to buy Doink the Clown. Probably not really, but I'll play with him if he's on the actual game disc. Then the other thing when it comes to DLC, this is a big one. I still don't have the season pass for the DLC. Why not? Because my word, it's $40. That's almost the price of the game. Like, what? Like, that's ridiculous. I would love it if they would either lower the cost of the DLC entirely or if they would let you do what they used to do about 10 years ago and let you buy each character individually. I'm more than happy to go through and pay $2 per character. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would be awesome because some characters, while it's great and they're being representative and I think it's awesome, I'm probably not going to play with every one of them on there. But you tell me that I can go spend, you know, $20 and get the characters that I want to at $2 a pop versus $40 for all of them, I'm going to spend that $20 because I know I'm going to play that character. So I hope they kind of fine-tune that. Whenever I see DLC being a little bit too much and I struggle with the value, I have to go, man, that's 2K being kind of greedy or whatever company in that case. So I'm hoping we see some good stuff. And then, of course, when it comes to rosters, I want to talk about create a character. And here's my biggest thing about 2K22's create a character. You go into career mode, you make your guy. And I spent a lot of time making my Logan Phoenix character. I was super stoked. I dug him. Then I wanted to play in my universe mode with him. And unfortunately, I couldn't pull him up. He wasn't there. It's like, what? Like, I've already created this guy. Apparently, you can only use those create wrestlers that you create for your My Rise in My Rise, which is the career mode. I think that's a grave mistake. Look, I understand that when it goes to My Rise, it's all about building up their stats and all that. And, you know, you don't necessarily want to do with just a created wrestler that you're going to use in exhibition. That's perfectly fine. But give me the option to clone one of them. Like, if I start playing around with a created character, I spend all the time in exhibition and universe mode, and then I want to use him in My Rise, cool, let me just clone his look and his movesets. Or, in my case, vice versa, how I did it, I started with My Rise. I wanted to just clone that look. You know what I mean? Like, I understand not being able to change the stats or needing to be able to change the stats, whichever way. But at the same time, like, just give us the ability to clone it, because I think that was, man, that was such a kick to sit there and go, well, I guess I got to spend another hour building this guy and go through his movesets and all that. So I hope they fix that. That just was wrong to me. And what's weird is 2K19 had that similar issue, but you had to at least finish the My Career mode at the time, and then you could import them over. So it seemed like 2K knew that was something people had an issue. But in 2K22, they didn't stop it. So hopefully they fix that. With My Rise, I'm going to be honest with you, they can just do exactly what they did with 2K22. I love the fact that it's not about winning match after match. It's about the drama and the storyline. So just give us more of the same with that. When it comes to My GM, they've already said that there's going to be more story options. There's going to be more GMs to pick from to get more bonuses, all of that fun stuff. So I look forward to that because I loved Universe Mode in 2K22. Granted, I don't think it was where it was at its peak, in my opinion, of WWE SmackDown 07. However, I look forward to seeing what they do with this next iteration. Now, all that being said, as much as I'm hyped for this game, the question is it going to be a day one purchase for me? I'm going to be honest. Maybe, but I doubt it. Only because, just being real with you guys, I look at getting a WWE game as a 20-hour commitment in the beginning. Like, it's literally, I get a WWE game, and the first 20 hours I have that game is all about, you know, building my character, starting out the different modes, trying things out, getting a little bit at least into career mode, trying out universe. Like, there's a lot of different steps that I take. And ultimately, March, when this game comes out, is already packed. And I'm already struggling to get there and be ready for things like Star Wars Jedi Survivor and, you know, the Resident Evil remake. So it's not that I'm saying I want to play those more than WWE. I just don't know that I'm going to have the time to really focus in on WWE right away. However, I can already tell you, I'm already getting more and more hype for WWE, so don't be shocked if I don't pick it up on day one or if I don't pick it up very soon after release. So, either way, guys, WWE 2K23, there is rumors that come Royal Rumble this Saturday, we will actually see even more about it, so I look forward to that. So, gamers, with that being said, unlike John Cena, you can see WWE 2K23, and I highly encourage you to go check out that showcase mode and to be on the lookout for it because, man, I think this game is going to be awesome. So, gamers, let's talk about Marvel's Avengers Disassembled because it's not an online or a single-player event happening in Crystal Dynamics' game. It is actually the end of that game. As of September 30th, the game is going to be delisted, meaning if you don't have a physical copy of the game or the game already downloaded at that point, you will not be able to play the game. You will not be able to buy the game digitally. You can still go buy a physical copy. However, a little tip for you, when a game gets delisted, physical copies of that game typically go up in value a lot, even if the game isn't that great. So if you've ever been curious about the game and you want to play it, now's the time to buy it. But September 30th, the game is done. Servers are turned off. If you have the game, you can play single player, local co-op, whatnot, but there's just not going to be anything going forward for you online, which is kind of a big part of the games as a service route that they took. Now, there is some important things to note. During the course of now till then, there will be a couple updates to kind of add a few things, fix a few things, stabilize a few things. The biggest thing, though, is on the 31st of March of this year, if you have any cosmetic items that you wish to pick up, hold off until then because March 31st, every cosmetic item will be free to download. And that's awesome because I want to say somebody did the math and it was several $1,000s to buy all the different outfits for each character, but they're free. So you can just go on there and download to your heart's content. I'm not going to lie, there's some really cool ones. So I will also be going on there and downloading those characters just in case I decide to play the game at some point in the future. But ultimately, that's kind of the big one. There will be no more being able to buy XP. That stuff, you still have to pay cash for until the 30th of September, then it goes away. So just be aware, those are the big things happening. But there's going to be no more character releases. Winter Soldier will be the last one. So A lot is kind of crazy about that. I mean, unfortunately, the game just didn't. It never became the hit that I think Crystal Dynamics expected it to be. I think they thought that selling the Avengers brand was going to be easy. And I'll be honest, the single player campaign was fantastic. It was a great story. It was great graphics, great gameplay. Now, I do think the controls could have been streamlined, but a lot of that comes into play with having to incorporate that games as a service, the online aspect of playing. Some things have to be changed when you're playing with other people, right? So there's a few gameplay elements that would have been smoothed out. But, you know, hey, at the end of the day, I think they thought that branding alone would get them there. And, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't work out for them. But there's a few things that kind of went wrong with the Avengers game. Now, let's talk about that. Number one, let's move past games as a service. I'll get back to that later. But because it did not sell well, it didn't get the support from fans that it wanted, I believe a lot of things were cut from the game. Number one, I believe that Spider-Man for the PS5 was supposed to be in line with what we got for Kate Bishop and Hawkeye. I have no thing to back that up on other than the fact there was a lot of hype about that. You were getting him on PlayStation. It was a big deal, right? Me and my good friend Hulking Yoda over at Lost at Sea Gaming, we were really expecting something in the line of Hawkeye and Kate Bishop. You know, we weren't expecting a War for Wakanda style expansion, right? But hey man, a little bit of a story, a new, maybe a little small area of New York to swing around in, you know, give you a reason to jump in there as a single player person and have fun with it, or bring a friend. It would have been awesome. But instead, we got something more in line with how they just released Winter Soldier, where it's like an online event and there's very minimal story. I think Spider-Man's story was told through different collectibles you'd find in the environments in the game. You know, there wasn't anything special about it. I think that was kind of a big deal for PlayStation players. And if it would have been a big, you know, event where you could play single player with story and you could have sat there and jumped into like a new area, I think people would have responded a lot more. But just releasing a single character skin, essentially, and yes, I know he had his own moves and stuff, but we're talking just a character to play in the game you've already played multiple times at this point. I don't think it went over that well. But speaking of Spider-Man, there were some highly rumored characters that just disappeared. We never saw their release. Now, not all of these were supposed to be on the level of War for Wakanda. In fact, the only time I ever heard of a major expansion was War for Wakanda. However, most of these characters that I heard were supposed to get something in the style of Hawkeye and Kate Bishop. If they weren't, it honestly kind of makes you go, why did Hawkeye and Kate Bishop get this future impact style storyline? So I think a lot of these characters I'm about to list off were supposed to have their own little story, biome, whatever, or they were all supposed to be intertwined and start connecting. Because I do feel like the Kate Bishop and the Hawkeye one, that storyline could have kept going. But hey, when fans aren't supporting it, fans aren't really getting behind it, that stops a lot of the funding, right? Which slows down what you can and can't do. So some of those characters that were supposed to, the first three, I really do feel pretty good that we were supposed to get these characters. And number one is She-Hulk. Why? Because we just had a Disney Plus show. I'm sure that they knew about that. They were trying to time that in and release it. And there was a lot of rumors about She-Hulk. In fact, we've seen pictures, we've seen all things leaked, and all of a sudden, nothing. So I think She-Hulk would have been one. I definitely think Captain Marvel, because Miss Marvel's in the game, and there's a lot of references to Captain Marvel. So why wouldn't she be in the game? You could almost just see kind of a cool little storyline with her and Miss Marvel kind of learning their powers and teaching her what to do and whatnot. So feels like there was something missing there. And then finally, Doctor Strange is one that I definitely think we would have seen. He would have added a different type of moveset and, you know, just would have added a different type of character to that game. So we didn't get those. And those are ones that I definitely think. But what are some other ones that were rumored? Number one was War Machine. Definitely would have, in the same way as a Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, War Machine, and Iron Man would have had a cool thing. I definitely think it would have been an interesting story we could have got with them. There was going to be Falcon. Again, you can tie that with Captain America. Ant-Man and the Wasp. These are important because, hey, just like the previous ones all have movies and connections, Quantumania is coming out. Falcon and Winter Soldier probably could have been really tied into the next Captain America movie, if not the Falcon and Winter Soldier TV show from 2021. So these characters are just, they're just MIA. And again, these were highly, highly rumored and leaked characters that we were supposed to see. Also, Scarlet Witch, Spider-Woman, Vision, Marvel, Mockingbird, and Quake. Those last three, I think those would have probably been released just like Spider-Man. You know, those would have just been characters like, hey, here's some new stuff we're going with. I don't think it would have been a huge release thing for them. But either way, those are the characters that when this game launched and we started seeing roadmaps, those were the ones that a lot of industry insiders and people that were working on the games like, no, these are the characters coming out. So never happened. Honestly, I get it. You know, people aren't supporting it. It's tough to come up with a budget. But I do think if they would have just kept releasing characters, it would have at least kept the players coming back to it that enjoyed the game, that wanted to check it out, that wanted to play it. I'll be honest with you. I talked about me and Hulk and Yoda. When Spider-Man came out with just nothing, it made us not even go. I haven't even played a Spider-Man because there's nothing there. It's just going to be me swinging around the city. Like, those little stories would at least got us into it. The more you get into it, just get the players to play just a little bit. It opens up to be like, you know what? Maybe I will play a little bit more. Maybe I'll play some online. Hey, Hulk and Yoda, let's jump on. Let's do this mission. Like, but when you just kind of throw them out there with nothing or you just pull back, well, I mean, I've kind of done what I wanted to do. I've talked about this before. I talked about my last episode with Ubisoft. The problem with games as a service is it really kind of makes your game a jack of all trades, master of none. Meaning Avengers had a fantastic single player story mode. However, the controls and stuff to me weren't perfected. They could have been streamlined and refunctioned, but they had to make way for games as a service. Your side mission, your side content in the game, it didn't really speak too well to single players like myself. Now, Hulk and Yoda has a completely different opinion of that. Check out his review, just like you can check out my review on our respective shows. But for the most part, a lot of single players didn't like getting into it because those side quests were kind of built around if you're having multiple people play. So there was a lot of moments of defend this area, take this enemy down, as opposed to like a linear story type thing to take on. So I definitely think that games as a service really hurt it. I think a lot of gamers were excited. The trailers looked pretty exciting. The story sounded awesome. But knowing that it was games as a service kind of turned people off. And then playing the game, for me, really didn't make me go, oh man, like, this game is just so good, you don't even need to worry about multiplayer. As a single player guy, like, that really hurt it. Now, I did play through the game and then later on go back and pick up the game. So, I mean, they got the money from me and I have put time in the game. But I still think that, man, it could have just been that much better if they would have focused on a single player game with optional multiplayer. But games as a service is always going to be one of those things that it's very tough for them to ride that line of what they want to do. To me, games as a service is really a game built for multiplayer with just some kind of single player component that you can try out. Now, how could they have fixed it once they didn't get the reception they wanted? Once they had to start making the ideas of cutting back these characters? That's a very tough question. Ultimately, I think they could have came up with interesting new events for online, because when the game first came out, they had some really cool events to take part in. Now, again, unfortunately, if you're somebody like myself, single player, you're not really going to jump into these, but I think they could have opened the pathway to make it more accessible for single player characters. I also think it could have been something where they could have, you know, really kept the first couple were interesting. It was around Black Widow and it was around the future impact stuff. So I definitely think if they'd have kept that going and added in those new characters with a single player story that would have been good, and also the multiplayer event. Like, there you go. Now you're kind of getting a single player kind of story driven one and a multiplayer type action one. So I definitely think that would have helped it. That would have kept people coming back. And you know what? I don't really know anything major they could have done to really fix it, right? Like, I mean, you'd have to restart the game and they can't do that. So I think it really kind of stunted themselves by really going that games as a service mode, if that makes sense. Finally, the last thing I would say, the one thing I wish they would do, I hope they do in one of their final updates, is I hope they make the single player campaign replayable. Now, yes, for the longest time, you couldn't. Once you beat it, it was done. Now, you can actually jump back in there, but it's a caveat. You have to reset the single player stuff all the way to zero. So, meaning all the side missions are disappearing. You don't have any progress in the single player anymore. Nothing. What I think they should do is they should update it. You could jump back in there and replay a few missions. Why? That single player stuff has some great content there. There's a great storyline in there. There's great missions and everything. Like, the best parts of that game is the main mission. Not the side stuff, but the main mission. So I think if they just kind of open that back up, let players jump back in where they were at, like free roam around it, replay missions and all that, I definitely think we would have, I think it'll make it go a little bit more, right? Because then you're now putting the focus back on the shiniest part of that game, and that's that single player story. So I definitely think it was cool. It would have been awesome. Ultimately, I think the biggest kind of fumble with that single player part is how they incorporated the Avengers as well. And this is where it gets into that games as a service, because there were very few points in that game where you got to play as multiple different Avengers. And I don't mind when the game switches me automatically. That's fine. I didn't expect like a Marvel Ultimate Alliance where I could constantly switch. But you get that first level where you're fighting on the Golden Gate Bridge and you're switching between characters, and it's fantastic. It's not until the very end of the campaign that you get to switch that way again, because it usually is one or two characters or, you know, something to that effect where you just, not everybody's there. The storyline is taking precedence. I get that. I think if they would have wrote that where the Avengers were back together by the midway part of the story and the second half, you were going through these missions with all the different ones bouncing back and forth from Thor to Captain America to Black Widow to Iron Man. Like, not only are you getting all these different experiences, not only are you getting more chances to play as these characters, but you're actually getting a lot of variety in each level. Because I gotta tell you, when you're just playing as the Hulk and you're playing for an hour and a half in a mission, it can get kind of dull after a while. But man, if you play as the Hulk for 20 minutes and then you switch to Thor and then you switch to Black Widow, like, each of the characters have so much variety, I think it would have really, really helped out the single player campaign. So with that being said, like I said, I want them to unlock the different missions for single player and let you jump back in there, but let you jump back in there and switch up who you're playing as, what characters you're taking with you, especially now that you've got all the other DLC like Winter Soldier, Spider-Man, and whatnot from the multiplayer. Now you can bring those into the campaign and have fun with it. I know it won't maybe thematically match up with the actual storyline, but again, it could just be a fun little way to give people a reason to jump back in that game and play it and have fun with it. So I really hope they do that. I doubt it, but at this point in time, the biggest things to know is Avengers is getting delisted. It never became the smash hit it wanted to, but more importantly, if you own the game already, March 31st, jump on that store and try to download everything you want, because, you know, hey, all them cool cosmetic stuff is going to be free. And I'm sorry, Mr. Fix-It as the Hulk, you're going to be mine. So gamers, what did I get done on the Graveyard Shift this week? Well, I got to tell you, it was a pretty fun week, because last week I completed God of War Ragnarok's main story. And this week I did it. I got the Platinum Trophy, cleaned up all the post-game stuff. And I just want to give you a few thoughts on that. First off, understand that to get everything in this game, you are absolutely going to have to clear out every region. Understand that there is no trophy for getting 100% in every region. It's just kind of one of those things that getting all the other collectibles you have to is going to cause you to get all 100% in every region. The other thing to keep in mind is this is a Metroidvania-style game. You will return to some regions in the story multiple times, some you won't. And no matter what, every region you go to, I don't think there's any reason that you can do everything in one setting. So just be aware of that. It really just depends on how you enjoy doing it. I know myself, I would clear everything up in a region when I was in there with the story. If the story brought me back there and I had, for example, unlocked the spear so I could get even more, then I would try to clear that up. But there are some things that are just post-game content that will cause you to have to go back to multiple regions anyway. Now, I will say, Alfheim is one region I'll highlight in particular, because you go there very early in the story. There's a few things that you just cannot do. You can't even get to one whole region until much later in the game. However, it is one region that you won't go back to in the story. So, for example, Strifelheim, like, and Vanaheim, I actually had sat there and cleared them out, came back later in the story and did it again. Alfheim, you don't get that chance. So when post-game I went back to there, I had a lot to do there. Now, my friend Hulking Yoda, he actually took time in between main missions to go back to different regions to keep clearing them up as best he could. So when he got to the post-game stuff, he didn't have as much as I did. So it really is a matter of six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. I mean, you're going to spend about the same amount of time no matter you do it during the game, post-game, whatever it is. But Alfheim, I'm going to highlight in particular, was the one that I spent a lot of time on just because I had never naturally, organically through the game went back to. So be aware of that. Be aware when it comes to the Berserkers. Those I would recommend as you find them throughout the regions. If you see that they have an orange bar or you see they have a red bar, immediately get out of there. Orange bar, give it a couple of tries. If you find yourself just being overwhelmed, I would back off and come back post-game, because the armor, the weapons, everything should be, especially if you're clearing those regions, should be a lot better and really help you with those. I've found several fights that were a lot easier since I came back in post-game. My biggest two that I would say be on the lookout for is one fight that will cause you to fight a 3-on-1 scenario But here's my tip for you. You'll have the Berserker and you'll have two sisters. Focus on the sisters first. They actually share their life bar. Their two life bars are actually connected. As you hit one, the other one drops as well. Focus on them. Understand that Berserker is going to be going crazy on you, but ultimately, just focus on them first, and once they're out of the way, it makes that Berserker a lot easier to handle. It still might take you a couple tries, but it's definitely worth focusing in that order. When you get to the Berserker King, understand he is the toughest boss battle in the game, and I dare say, slightly cheap. I just didn't like a lot of his moves. He will use his shield, so like he'll pop it up and have a red shield, meaning you need to use your axe and sit there and use your runic abilities to break that shield. So just be aware of that. I personally would recommend switching from Rage to Valor and fully upgrading your Valor as well. That's the one that when you click L3, R3, you actually get a health boost. If it's fully upgraded, it's not just two little bars you get. It is actually 6 or 7 bars. I can't remember off the top of my head. But basically, that is like a nice boost to health. And you can use that if it's all the way filled, like I said, 6 or 7 times. On top of that, you combine it with the Berserker King getting close to you or about to attack you. You're going to do stun damage and you'll get extra melee damage, extra health. It's definitely worth kind of switching to that. And you want the Onslaught Shield. The reason for that is he does have a move. It's got the double blue circles, and that usually means you need to do a shield bash. However, that move is not something you can roll away from. You can't get distance. It'll affect you everywhere. So if you're on the other side of the area, you don't have enough time to get to him to slam the shield down. With that on shield slam, though, when you double hit the L1, you'll actually run and charge him. So it means you'll be protected. You'll complete the shield bash and do massive damage to him. Do not sleep on using your companion. Their arrows will definitely help you as he flies in the air with unbreakable attacks. You want to interrupt that with those arrows. So I definitely recommend those few tips. But ultimately, when me and Hulking Yoda talked about fighting the Berserker King, we had very similar styles, but also very different. So you're going to have to find the way that's best for you. I will give you a heads up. It took me about 1.5 hours of trying and dying until I completed him. Now, when it gets to another part, this is another boss fight that I'm not going to get into the story details for because I think it's very cool thing to organically find, and trust me, the game will push you there. It is one of the things you have to do to get 100% in a certain region, so you're not gonna not find it, but you'll definitely know it's coming. You'll definitely know it's a boss fight. Understand, it can be very tough. Now, my tip for this is almost the reverse of the Berserker King. See, the Berserker King, I would say be more defensively. For this fight, be more offensively, and I use the same tips, I use the same moves on this boss fight. It's just I was a lot more aggressive in my approach, and I was actually able to beat it a lot quicker than I was expecting and a lot easier than the Berserker King. So just be aware of that. I personally recommend going after the Berserker King, then going after the fight. I think for me and Hulking Yoda, again, he did this differently, but mentally preparedness, I was a lot better for it. I was ready to get in there, ready to fight, and again, it worked out very well for me, a lot quicker than I expected, I should say. Then finally, when you get to the Crucible, which is like the Trials of Muspelheim that you actually do in 2018, in this game, they're a lot easier. I mean, honestly, there wasn't too many of them that I got stuck on. However, let me just also say that they're a little bit more complicated. They're not as linear as in 2018 where you just go through, I believe there's 12 of them, right? You just bam, 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 go through them. No, this one, you actually have 3 different rooms with up to 3 challenges each. And it's a matter of doing the challenges and then doing them in different orders to unlock 6 main challenges in the main chamber. And again, even those main challenges, they're not too tough, but be aware you need to block off about 2 hours to get through all of the trials. But with that being said, those are my biggest post-game tips for you. It really is just a matter of exploring, unlocking everything, and then those 2 boss fights and those trials, because they are going to take a little bit of your time to get through the Crucible. So what is next for me as far as the game plan goes? Well, I've talked to you multiple times about Plague's Tale Requiem being next. However, in about 1.5 weeks, I have to kind of take some time off, and I don't know what it looks like with gaming during that time. And the last thing I want to do is start Plague's Tale and get really into it, and then that time comes and I'm not able to finish the game, and for 2 weeks it's just sitting there. Again, I may have time to play during those 2 weeks, I just don't know. So what I've decided to do, and I'm actually kind of stoked about this, I forgot, I even did an episode about it, but Hitman Freelancer mode dropped this week. Next week, I'm excited to try that mode out. It's kind of a new take on Hitman and like a roguelite elements, while also being very, very similar to the elusive targets. So I'm very, very excited to try that mode out. I'm also wanting to jump back into some WWE 2K22, see if I can get a little further, see if I can finish that game, see if I can give you guys a review for that finally. And then, you know what, if I have time, I would actually probably jump back into Gotham Knights and just kind of play around, have fun with that. So the game plan a little bit different than I had been talking about over the last couple months. However, I think it's in the best interest of, honestly, Plague's Tale. I loved Plague's Tale Innocence so much. I loved the story. I was just honestly enraptured in it. This game, I don't have the time anymore, unfortunately, to sit there and play for 8-hour stretches. However, with this game, I want to take advantage the best I can. And if that means my hyper focus on it, where that's the only game I played for a week or two, that's how I want to do it. So I look forward to telling you all about Hitman Freelancer, WWE, potentially Gotham Knights in the next coming weeks. So just stick around for that. Gamers, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to know your thoughts on both WWE 2K23 and the Avengers shutting down. I'd love to know your thoughts on God of War Ragnarok. Did you enjoy going for its platinum? Are you still searching for its platinum? And have you played A Plague's Tale? Have you tried out Hitman Freelancer? Because I am so excited to start that mode out. But you can always let me know these things at thegraveyardgamer@gmail.com, The Graveyard Gamer on Instagram, where I'm posting my journey through gaming. Kind of follow along with me on that. Or you can find me on Twitter at TheGraveyardG, where I make a bunch of random posts and just have fun. So until next time, gamers, I'll be creeping around the graveyard.